Hello and welcome. You're listening to CantoCast. I'm Blue.
And I'm Yellow.
First and foremost, thank you for listening to CantoCast, a Pokemon podcast.
Your continued support has made a huge impact on the show, and we can't thank you enough.
So big of an impact that we have all kinds of stuff that we do now. YouTube, Twitch, Patreon rewards. We even have a website, and it's all thanks to you, our listeners, friends, and fellow trainers.
Some of you do more than you should to help us achieve our goals, and those are our Patreon members.
You guys help support both us and the show financially, so that we can upgrade equipment and increase quality productions for everyone to enjoy. So really, thank you, on behalf of us and everyone else.
To find out more about all things CantoCast, check out the links in the episode description.
And as always, please enjoy this episode of CantoCast. And welcome to CantoCast episode special edition variant. I am your host, Blue. You know that, but I'm joined by a very special individual whom you are probably aware of. Quite possibly aware of. This is a very special episode. I'm going to get cozy right next to the webcam because I'm looking at him right now. We have Kevin, aka CantoCast Red, on the show. Kevin, say hello.
Oh, hey guys.
So, I mentioned that I wanted to do, like, little special edition episodes and things like that. So here it is. I don't know what number this is because I don't know when it's going in, so we'll figure that out in the title. If there is a title number in this episode description, we have nailed it. End of story. Anywho, the purpose of today is to give a little bit of insight on the CIL. So, if you don't know what the CIL is, I actually have the commissioner here himself. Kevin, would you like to explain what the CIL is for all the kids at home who don't watch my YouTube, all 20 who do actually watch it, and then and what it is? Because it's a league format. I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with league format, but I don't know that they are.
The CIL is a land of pure imagination and happiness. The CIL is a draft league that's very casual. The whole point was because there's a whole bunch of people out there who want to play draft, but they have responsibilities they have to take care of, and I'm one of those people. You're one of those people.
I am.
Pretty much everybody in the league is one of those people. So instead of having a match every week, we give you 2 weeks. We're a little flexible because we know things happen. And other than that, it operates pretty much identical to any draft league out there.
And that's beautiful, because I joined another league, which is weekly. It's run by Mighty Mamoswine, the PCL, and I was planning on recording and uploading for that. I told you guys I made a YouTube video about it and everything. The focus of recording and then making competitive teams that are also creative and fun in like 3 to 4 days notice before I have to move on to the next thing was so nerve-wracking. And the whole production and creative impact that I like to put into my content took a serious nosedive. And the thing that I genuinely, genuinely love about the CIL, because I've been doing this since the beginning too. And initially, Yellow and I were both coaching a team, and then I took the reins over Season 2, which we won't talk about Season 2, because Season 2 was a bad time. Pin Missile was a thing. Misses in the name. Anybody who knows that understands. Anywho, the time frame to get stuff done and to get battles in and to be able to spend time on edits and music selection and just layouts and recording, all of that stuff works out so nicely. Because back before I was doing this stuff full time, I had to squeeze all that in while working like 50, 60 hours a week. And it was terrible. Like, it was literally the worst thing ever. But, you know, league format's fun. I've been an analyst for the GBA for a couple seasons. I'm not as involved anymore. But back then, Same thing. I had to make the video. I had to watch all the matches. I had to create the content. I had to script and draft and record and all that stuff. And I had a week to do it. And it was terrible. Like, it was fun. And I liked going in with the troops and being an analyst and being a part of that whole thing. But it was so nerve-wracking to do it. But the time frame is so nice. Anyway, that's my rant about the time frame. That's why I love the CIL. Also, the CIL has a lot of you in it. And
true.
As Kevin correctly pointed out earlier, you know, there's a lot of people who want to be in league format and they want to do counter team and they, you know, but they have busy lives. The Kanto Nation kind of needed something like that, I think, or wanted something like that. Kevin saw the opportunity. And naturally, like the natural born Kev missioner that he is, threw it together now. So we're in three seasons. We're actually wrapping up season three soon. We're going to talk a little bit about the playoff picture and what that means, but don't get too hyped yet, because there is more hype to come after all of that, because we're going to be talking about what lies in store for season four. Hashtag bars. I don't always do that normally, but I figured, hey, it happened organically, why not let it happen? So what we're going to get into right now is basically the playoff picture. So we're in playoffs, which is great. Kevin and I are actually leading the conferences. We both had a particularly good run. I think, can we just talk about this for a moment? Is it arguable that we had the most difficult schedules out of everybody? I don't want to brag. I don't want to brag because Kevin helped me a lot with my team construction. So I would say this is at least 60-40 on my success so far.
I don't think it's arguable, because if you look at the numbers, I know I played every playoff team except for Rachel, and I think you've played all of them but Tony?
I didn't play Craig either.
Oh, but. Well, all of them, but so nobody's played more playoff teams than you except for me.
Yes. Which, miraculously, I only had one loss. It was to Mav. It was to Mavros Foreveros. Mav intensifies. The CIL Mav missioner.
The one and only.
Oh my gosh. Listen, during that bet, like, Mav had Ferrothorn. Mav is not in the playoffs. So we're not likely going to discuss his team or anything like that. But Mav had Ferrothorn. And if you know me, I get triggered by Ferrothorn, and I instantly think I auto-lose, because it was a terrible experience going up against that thing in 2015 VGC. So anytime I see a Ferrothorn, I just instantly think I auto-lose, and it was so in my head. And I got so protect played that entire game. It was brutal.
The was PTSD from brutal. Ferrothorn comes a lot earlier than 2015. If you recall the Battle Subway.
Oh my god, yes. I totally forgot about that.
Before we did anything with IVs or anything.
Hey, now listen. That Chandelure I had two perfect IVs on it. Okay?
I'm pretty sure that's the reason we started getting into IVs, was because, like, we're like, how is this doing so much damage?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then once we figured that out, it was kind of like, oh. And then I specifically remember going back and looking at the rest of my Pokemon and realizing that they all had really bad IVs. I was like, I've been living a lie this entire time. Because mm-hmm. I've been competitively breeding since Gen 2, but I didn't really know what an IV was, but I knew what a good stat was when I got it. And so I was like, okay, I can get the nature, I can get good, like, attack. I know when a good attack is because it's a 6 on the egg hatch chart, and it was, yeah. It was bad. Anywho, beyond the nightmares of Ferrothorn, who we got in the playoff picture, Kev?
All right. We've got, on one side, the number one seed, the Tapu Koko Puffs, getting a bye the first round, and fighting for the chance to play you in the second round of the playoffs is going to be Tony, coach of the Lake Superior Surf, or Craig, coach of the Colorado Rapidash.
Ooh. So here's the funny thing about that. Just a quick anecdote for everyone at home. If you follow us on Twitter, then you know that there is a thing called hashtag yogurt time. that Craig and the Rank 'Em Up guys all discuss. Don specifically, they have a yogurt time where gentlemen just meet and gather and they share a yogurt over small talk at work. It's totally normal. There's nothing weird. Craig refuses to admit that yogurt time is a thing. And I guarantee you, after he hears this episode, he's going to tweet out, yogurt time, it's not a thing. It is, Craig. Mr. Craigerson of Craig.
Craigenshire?
Craigenshire, yes. That's it. Yes. Anywho. Yeah, that's a real thing. So I said, all right, Craig, listen. When we meet in playoffs, or it was allegedly the finals at that time, but now obviously that is not a thing that is possible, because we're on the same side of the bracket. I said, we meet in the finals. We have a hashtag yogurt time. We live stream it. And we turn it into a fundraiser to get Lilo a 3DS. Hashtag 3DS for Lilo. And don't spell it 4, though. It's the number 4. Specifically, it's the number 4.
Yeah, guys, be cool. Come on.
We were going to do that. And now I think that's possible. So, Craig, this is officially me throwing the white glove down at your feet.
Ooh.
A duel, I propose.
It's time to duel!
This would be really great if I had like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Soundbite.
You can add one in post.
So, I'm exceptionally... Did you want to go over the teams at all?
Yeah, we can do a little breakdown if you want.
Okay. I'm exceptionally excited to play Craig's team. Tony, you listen to me. Tony Tonerson of Toneshire. Listen, your team is scary and they don't like it. Tony was actually a fill-in, right? Because we had a coach drop. Tony, props to Tony. He came in, picked up someone else's team, did pretty well with it. Finished what, 5-2?
6-2.
6-2. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So good. That's not a bad record at all. Tony has Mega Swampert, Tapu Koko, Jirachi, Latios, Politoed, Alola Marowak, Amoongus, Druddigan, Togekiss, Raichu, and he picked up Blaziken, the Blaze, because Speed Boost is banned.
Alolan Raichu, by the way.
Alolan Raichu, yes. I mean, that team's gross, okay? First of all, he's got Rain Mode, which because of the way Mega Evolution has adapted in Gen 7... You get the speed boost initially, the order of play takes place after Mega Evolution now. So if you have Swift Swim, Mega Swampert, you don't have to wait a turn. None of that exists anymore. So Prankster, Mega, what's his name? Bennett is actually, it could be a thing. That could be a thing. Anyway, so he's got like ridiculous Rain Mode. He's got freaking Surge Surfer. Between Alolan Raichu and Tapu Koko. Tony, could your team please take a chill pill?
A lot of speed there. And the thing is like, you can't even bring Trick Room against him because he's got that Marowak sitting there.
Right?
Are you really going to set up Trick Room for Marowak to just dunk on your team?
Plus, I mean, there's a Moongus.
Yep.
Druddigan is okay. But, I mean, can we also talk about the flinch factory that he has going on with Togekiss and Jirachi?
Indeed. RNG, not our friend.
Tony, kindly tell your team to calm down, sir. Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous. I don't want to play that team, first and foremost. Craig's team. Kevin, what's on Craig's team? Make me feel better.
Craig's not going to make you feel too much better. Craig's rocking the Mega Altaria, the Heatran, Toxapex, Hydreigon, Scizor, Gorgeist, Hawlucha, Mudsdale, Togedemaru, Celebi, and Aurorus.
Okay, so this is not, I mean, I guess I should say what my team is too, because I haven't really talked about the CIL on the show, just because I did a YouTube series for it, so I figured, you know, you guys could get it one way or the other, but we actually drafted, okay, Mega Lopunny, Tapu Bulu, Nihiligo, Vikavolt, Suicune, Delmize, Darmanitan. I have no idea how Darmanitan made it that far down the list. I genuinely don't. Mimikyu, Suicune. Oh, I already said Suicune. Mimikyu, Kyurem, Shuckle. Oh, shucks. That was at Kevin's discretion, by the way. I was about to pick something else that round, and I fought the urge. And then Garchomp. So Garchomp was formerly Golbat, R.I.P.
R.I.P. the dream.
Golbat was originally in that slot, and then it was Flygon, because I needed something to actually use ground attacks, which I didn't have. And then Mav so graciously offered up a trade that was way more beneficial for me than it was for him, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Where we traded my Flygon for his Garchomp, and I'm very, very indebted to that trade, because now I have, you know, anything above a base 100 speed is super, super useful when you're talking, like, no-holds-barred draft format. 100%. So, I mean, I don't really want to play around with Mega Altaria either. If there's one thing that bodies Mega Lopunny, it's probably Mega Altaria.
Yeah.
It's not really something I want to see.
There's a lot of... Mega Altaria is a really tough Mega to prep for, because it has the spread to do just about any role it needs to. You need a special wall, it can do that. You need a physical wall, it can do that. Special offense, it can do that too. Physical offense, setup, it can be a cleric, it can do a lot. So prepping for it is very challenging. Generally, I say you have to have some kind of measure for the Dragon Dance set, but that doesn't necessarily mean he has to bring it.
I mean, I got some tech with Mega Lopunny. Listen, I got some Lopunny tech, but it's risky. Like, I could... There's a lot of things I could do against Craig's team, but if he doesn't switch out, if he stays in, things could go south really, really quick. And I don't really want to mess with... I don't like my bracket. I don't like my side of the bracket. Can we switch? Because I know Chase and Rachel's teams. I had to play them.
True.
In I was about to say Swiss, but in the regular season, it's not. It's like Swiss, kind of. This is like Top Cut. And for those of you at home who play VGC and don't know anything about Counter Team, think of the regular season like Swiss, and the playoffs like Top Cut. That's essentially what it is. Relatable.
Good analogy.
Relatable. So that's what's happening on the left side of the bracket. That was, I guess conferences don't really matter, but I was in Moon Conference, as was Rachel and Chase. And everybody else was in the Sun Conference. And that conference belongs to the LA Kinglers. Indeed, LA Kinglers taking home a clean, clean 7-1 with a godly differential of, 26? You plus 26?
Yeah,
something calm like that. Down, Kevin. God. That's so much. And then the Bentonville Blastoise, I believe.
Yes.
And the Solgaleos, who are...
from Phoenix.
Phoenix. The Phoenix Solgaleos. I always get tripped up by that.
Yeah, well, actually, it's the new teams that are hard to keep up with sometimes.
I actually don't know anybody's, like, state name. Unless you, because I know the LA Kinglers. Because it's like, oh my gosh, I love Kinglers, and you live in LA, so that makes a lot of sense.
Makes it easy.
That's honestly, that's part of the reason why I don't have a state name in the Cocoa Puffs. The Cocoa Puffs home base is the internet. That's where we live.
It's beautiful. I love it.
We are part of a delicious breakfast.
The original electric terrain.
That's so good! I didn't even think that's going to be our slogan now. pending trademark. Kevin, yes. Break us down with some of these teams, because the Blastoise and the Solgaleos have to play first, much like the Surf and the Rapidash do. We have the bye, thank God. Thank Lord Bulu himself.
It wasn't easy to get to those byes either. We talked about earlier, we had tough schedules, tough opponents, and everyone made it a challenge every week. The Blastoise pack a team of Mega Aerodactyl, Victini, Celesteela, Tyranitar, Gudra, Donphan, Florgus, Superior, Weavile, Araquanid, and Tornadus. A very different team from what he drafted due to using all five transactions. He had a Keldeo and a Jolteon and a Smeargle at one point and something else, but he noticed some weaknesses after our match that he shored up pretty well with some of his exchanges. And he plays Rachel, who has Mega Latios, last season's MVP, for our fans out there. Faramosa, Skarmory, Mamoswine, Raikou, Volcanion, Terrakion, Whimsicott, Crawdon, Umbreon, and Staraptor. She's got a lot of immediate power. a lot of good speed, a good spread of bulk, and things that are just very difficult to switch into.
Yeah. I look at Rachel's team, honestly, and, like, the total base stat of all those Pokemon is probably ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like half legendaries almost. Yeah, legendaries generally have, like, higher.
Yeah, like, I would say a good half of her team is at least 500-plus base stat total. At least.
Yeah, she's got five legendaries. So the base stat total is very, very high. And then she also has, like, things with great utility like Skarmory and Mamoswine, which aren't legendary, but good luck switching into Mamoswine.
Which Rachel was a coach that came in and took over for another team that had to drop out.
This Sanyer! Well.
Yes. Sanyer, you're probably listening, Sanyer. Rachel's doing pretty well with the team.
Yeah, so. She is. Sanyer.
But thank you to Rachel for that as well. Same with Tony for picking up from a former coach's or a coach who was with us at the beginning who wasn't able to go the full distance this season. Not former. That's not the right word. That's not the right word I wanted to use there. But current coach, hashtag current coach, Rachel. I think for playoffs she should change her name to Rachel with Sogaleos. I think that would make more sense. Ooh. Rachel with cats. I'm calling you out right now.
I'm calling you out. Do it.
Anyway, Kev, you want to tell us about your team and how gross it is and how I kind of don't want to play you in the finals again? Because we played each other week one, and I got pretty lucky because I had a crit on something that allowed me to... Yeah, it got rid of Scolipede. Because at that point, I was like...
Oh, I remember.
I didn't know how to handle speed passing at that point. I feel like I kind of have a better idea of what it does now. I don't think you're going to try that again if we do play in the finals because your team has some versatility. So why don't you tell us what that team is and tell us all the secrets that you have with it and how to beat you again.
I can tell you all those things because depending on what I bring depends on how you'd beat it. Because there's a few different modes I like about this. I love this draft. I don't think I could have done any better for me. It's Mega Scizor, Manaphy, Kyurem Black, Excadrill, Hippowdon, Clefable, Thundurus, who used to be a Reuniclus. I originally wanted a good Trick Room mode, but I found it hard to fit Reuniclus into certain matchups. So I got Thundurus instead. Scolipede, Chandelure, Snorlax, and Tornadus Therian.
Yes. Full disclosure, my week 8 battle.
8.
I was supposed to play Marv and the Empoleons, the Pittsburgh Empoleons with Satoshi Red Ash. But some communications got crossed. So Maddie B, another fill-in coach this season of the Faramos, has stepped in with the team and did his thing. He actually used Tornadus T, which I didn't realize, but the Empoleons had Thundurus T, and so Matt used Tornadus T, which is fine, I guess. I don't really know if it made a huge difference.
The match itself was basically inconsequential, because as soon as you got one KO, everything that could be determined by that match was determined.
Yes. That is accurate. Thankfully. I'm really glad that was the case. Because anytime I don't have to play, okay, for just bridging the gap, making this relatable, those of you VGC goers, let's say you get a Worlds invite, okay? That's like getting a spot in the playoffs. But let's say you get a day two Worlds invite where you don't have to play day one, you just have to play day two and then the last day. That's basically what conference leaders did. That's how Kevin and I, we placed at the top of our conference, so we get a bye the first week. I feel like I'm boiling this down to, like, Baby Town Frolics, and I apologize if I sound like I'm speaking dumb to you guys, but I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page, because I, for example, had no idea how the playoffs were going to shake down, and I was speculating wildly that I would have to play Tony immediately, and I was like, but wait, I have a bye, so that's not possible, and it was all confusing. I was confused, so I'm basically, just think of it as me reiterating for my own benefit, so that I know what's going on. But anyway, yeah, Tornadus T. Tornadus T is Kevin's. Despite what you may see on the YouTube, it is Kevin's. It does not belong to the Impel Lands. So Kevin's sitting pretty there with a 7-1 plus 26. I'm up there also in my ivory tower with 7-1 plus 21. The Surf finished out 6-2 plus 8. The Rapidash 5-3 with a plus 2. The Blastoise and the Solgaleos were pretty much locked in since like week 7, I think? Week 7? Because their outcome didn't really matter a whole lot. Mm-hmm. The Blastoise had a 6-2 plus 10, and the Solgaleos had a 5-3 minus 1. I would say, honestly, the Sun Conference was way more competitive, just based on records alone, because the next position was the Poison Sting. That was Mav, who went 3-5. And then it dropped off from there, 3-5 with the Empoleons, 2-6 with the Decidueyes, and the Whirlwinds at 2-6 as well. The Charizards, however, which is another team I didn't really want to play, was 4-4. The Pheromos is at 3-5, Sampharos at 2-6, and the Wailords at 1-7. By the way, if you guys want to know what any of these actually look like, I'll link you to the CIL Season 3 Google Doc, the draft doc, in the description. You can check it out. You should not be able to change anything on it, I hope.
I don't think so.
No, that's probably fine. How do you feel about the two conferences and how they broke down? Because I felt at the beginning of the season, I felt like they were pretty evenly matched overall.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to agree with your assessment. I think the Sun Conference, I think they're really similar, because you have, as far as like experienced versus inexperienced coaches, we've got a really, So in the Sun Conference, we have two new coaches, I think, and I think two new coaches in the Moon Conference. And each one, like one new coach did well in each conference, and one new coach has some things to learn about the format. So you had a nice spread there. I think it's misleading to look at someone like the Decidueyes and the Whirlwinds and say, oh, well, they didn't do that well, so maybe they're not as good, because I think we all know that Jonah and Fiona are exceptional battlers.
Yeah.
And maybe didn't have as favorable matchups or whatever the case may be. There's a whole bunch of reasons that you don't win in Pokemon.
T-Wave? Yeah, Rock Slide?
Whole bunch of reasons. So a lot of times, one decision can make the difference between a win and a loss. So to evaluate the level of competition, I find very challenging, because I have a lot of respect for everyone in this league, and I don't, like, when I prep, I don't take anyone lightly.
No, uh-uh. I mean, that's one of the things that I kind of discovered going in, because, as you all know, I mean, I may have been an analyst for the GBA a couple seasons back, where I actually did, like, a series, when I actually did things. And I mean, I've talked to people who are really big in the draft format and counter team. And I mean, I genuinely don't know what I'm doing in OU. Like, I'm not a tiers guy. I know a thing or two about, Pokemon that maybe don't get a whole lot of usage, and I integrate those into VGC. But I feel like when you're partnered up in VGC, it's a little bit easier to make things more viable, and it's easier to put a game plan together. Not to mention, when you're playing VGC, you have access to whatever that format allows. So you're not subjected to whatever you're able to pick, and then, you know, use that for like the next 8, 10, 12 games. So it's very different, and I want to emphasize that. I'm doing well because of a lot of help on Kevin's part. A lot of help on Kevin's part. I learned a great deal from Kevin, honestly. Like, just, you know, whether it's figuring out the tech behind the Beast Boost, you know, when to bring things in safely, setup. Let me talk a moment about setup, because it's something Kevin's probably really comfortable with, and it's probably every Smogon person is aware of. Even VGC, I never set up, literally never set up. Like, I am a risky switcher and a disruption player, and I like bulky offense where I can switch in, make big plays, and pick up wins that way. Which, again, is a lot easier in VGC, because not only do you not have to play from six Pokemon, which you do in singles and counter team, but, you know, you have a partner next to you, so if you screw up royally, also protect is a thing. You have access to protect, where it's not kind of just a wasted move slot like it is in counter team. So I did a lot of learning. Like, I've been analyzing it for a long time, and I've been identifying, you know, how things function and how things work. But relatively speaking, as a player, I was ignorant. Ignorant
American. Inexperienced with vocabulary. JK. Blame Yellow.
That is a Yellow move, yeah. Anywho, she's not here. She's reading somewhere. But, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't comfortable with the setup. I learned how to set up. I learned, you know, when speed passing, for example, the passing thing. Like, that's not something you see in VGC. Hazards are not, or you don't see. What is a rapid spin? A VGC player never sees a rapid spin. Occasionally you'll see stealth rocks if you're like on the 1300s ladder in battle spot or something. But ultimately you don't see that stuff. And so I've had to kind of expand my horizons as a player. If Kevin and I do make it to the finals and we do play each other, I assume he will not be helping me with team construction.
I might.
Which I'm proud to say, for my week 8, I did it all on my own. I submitted it to you, just, and you were like, well, maybe have something for Chansey, because Chansey's going to wall you if you don't. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's a good point. I should not get beat by one mon, like Ferrothorn all over again. It's very different. And if you guys are ever interested in that, I definitely encourage you. There's tons of counter team format drafts out there. Not all as big and as flashy as, like, the UCL. I don't even know if they're still around. The GBA, the MPA, not that MPA, but the other MPA, the counter team MPA. The original MPA, I think, is a VGC kind of league, which is nothing like this at all. maybe someday I'll talk about that. Yeah. Maybe someday. Maybe the multi-battle league, too. MBL. Yeah. But not right now. Now we're focused on the CIL. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for the playoffs. I don't know what's going to happen. Genuinely don't know what's going to happen. Do you have anything else you'd like to comment on about Season 3, Kevin?
I will have my vengeance.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm inclined to believe that you will.
Nah, it's a lot. For each of us, it's only one game, but that's a big asterisk, because we've got our work cut out for us regardless of who we have to play.
So, that said, those of you who have been sticking around, it's been like a half hour already. You're all saints.
You are.
Listen, those of you who are listening right now, you might be wondering, hey, Season 3 is great and all, but it's pretty much over. Well, the Kev Missioner is here to make an announcement about CIL Season 4. So, ooh. Kev Missioner Poseidon, anytime you want to go ahead and drop that truth bomb on us, feel free.
Well, Season 4 is going to be a little different. This past season, we continued with our tier list draft style, which was, I think, really fun for a lot of people. There's a whole bunch of powerful threats that sit pretty in the OU tier that are really fun and diverse to use. But for Season 4, we're going to mix it up. Season 4 is going to be an RU and under draft, meaning anything not in RU is not eligible to be picked. There are going to be additional bans, which we'll go over in just a minute, but for all intents and purposes, anything in BL2 and up is out.
No, none of that stuff.
None of
it. So, but I know you're all probably panicking right now, but how do we live? How do we live without Ultra Beasts and like,
well, there's an Ultra Beast in RU.
One.
One. The best one.
How do we live without, I don't know, what's really OU? Victini. How do we live without Victini? Well, listen, there's a lot of good stuff in RU, so don't discount it before you hear.
So much fun stuff, and it's a really just nice way to refresh, because there's a whole bunch of things that are really good and really strong, but you're not going to see in a tiered system, because who's gonna pick up a I have my list here, and then they're all like really good, and I'm like, well, all those could be picked up in an OU draft. But okay, so who's going to pick up an Emboar when you have an opportunity to get Victini type of thing?
Valid. Very valid. Who's going to go for Almastar when there's something that's better than Almastar? Y'all thought I was going to be like comparing it to, I don't know, something really good. I don't really know what Almastar does. I think he shell smashes.
He shell smashes? Swift Swim?
Okay, so he's a rain guy. Which, yeah, that's
good.
That's actually a good point to bring up. There are some things that perhaps are not allowed, such as auto drizzle. Auto drizzle is not allowed.
Indeed. Yes, this is I believe, I honestly don't play low tiers too much. I think UU it might be banned as well. But if it's not UU, for sure are you. Not allowed in there. So because everything's going to be taking place in RU, can't use drizzle.
Whoop.
Which is a good thing, because there's some, if it was allowed, holy crap, dude. Like, there's so much power from Swift Swim users that it would just not be fair.
There's, I want to say Kingdra's in there.
Yes.
Omastar's in there.
Yes.
Kabutops is in there.
Yes.
I don't think Ludicolo is.
I think it is.
Okay, just kidding. So
it's,
like,
I think it's NU.
Wow. Okay, so literally everything that's good in Swift Swim. Am I forgetting one?
Does Gorbis get it?
Maybe. Lovedish does.
Bear Tick.
Lovedish does. I know that. Mega Swampert is not, obviously, because Mega Stones are not going to be allowed. Now listen. There are some Megas in that tier. They do exist. There are not that many. So over the concept, I think, of giving some people access to Megas and then not others, depending on how the draft goes. I believe Kevin actually kind of batted the idea back and forth of giving the Z-Captain concept to players who did not get Mega Pokemon. But ultimately, I think we just kind of opted to not have Mega Stones in general. Mm-hmm. That was the easier fix.
Yeah. Yeah, it just made a whole lot more sense, because Mega Glalie is actually really freaking good. And the only thing really stopping it from ripping through an RU draft is the fact that it only has base 100 speed, but it also has a pretty strong ice shard, and there's a whole, it can run physical or mixed. Like, if I did allow Mega Stones, I might even consider banning Mega Glalie from an RU draft. I haven't given it that much thought since we just wiped out Mega Stones, but it would be something I would consider.
Also hitting up that ban list will be Necrozma, Cresselia, Cloyster, Hoopa, Feraligatr, and any GBA bans, which I assume we've pretty much covered in that regard.
One thing that we didn't, so besides the accidental letting Faramosa slip through this season, we opted not to do Baton Pass, because I play on the ladder a fair amount when I do play, and I don't find Baton Pass is challenging to play against, but it's definitely not hard to stop, and I didn't really think of it as that big of a threat. However, having used it this season, I can definitely see an insane opportunity to abuse it, so passing speed will not be allowed in Season 4. And that's the main change.
Will you be able to pass other stats, or is it just speed?
You can pass anything as long as speed's not involved. So if you do want to do Calm Mind Baton Pass, that's an option.
Speed ban.
Speed, yeah, no speed passing.
You heard it here. No speed passing. You must be under 5 miles an hour to pass. Is that slow? I feel like that's slow.
So slow.
That's actually pretty fast for human peoples, but Pokemon are faster, so it makes sense. Don't question it. Don't think about it.
Just say yes.
So, I mean, that kind of covers, I don't know, the majority of it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the diversity in RE, because any tiers I did play involved Noctowl. And Noctowl, I don't even think is in a tier at this point. He's just down somewhere doing something.
Probably PU.
I think everything in RU, and honestly, there's a lot of things on my team now that are RU. There's a lot of things on a lot of people's teams that are RU. For the record, we didn't have like a tiered draft. It was an open draft. You could pick what you wanted. And I mean, looking back at the CIL draft board, there's a lot of stuff in UU that did not get picked. Like a lot of stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I would say probably a third at least. NU is looking rough. RU also pretty rough. But I mean, there's still some stuff that got picked up from RU and NU on those teams. So OU pretty much got picked over. And I think that's kind of part of the point of why things are getting mixed up this season, coming in at season four. I think we're going to see a little more diversity. I think, honestly, the thing that has benefited me coming from a VGC background to a counter team situation, it's a situation that I'm in, let's be honest. I'm not in the playoffs. We're in a situation where Blue tries to like figure out what he's doing. Like knowing how to utilize kind of stranger Pokemon that people aren't as familiar with, I think has honestly benefited me this season, because a lot of my big hitters have not been like the OU specials. I have a couple OU Mons on my team, but honestly, like they're not getting the big Salazzle Dazzle, as we'll say, which is RU by the BTW. It's not getting that special fling, you know. So learning how to utilize Pokemon in a different tier is maybe more beneficial to you expanding as a player, because you can keep using the same stuff over and over and over and over, right? That's always available to you. You can play whatever tier you want. I'm not here to judge. But if you expand your horizons and realize that, oh, hey, this gets that thing, and this combo can work. Because I've used a lot of stuff that I've learned in VGC in team building and set building for this league. So, I mean, they're all kind of like, I ran Megalopunny 2016 all year. I drafted it, and I have a lot of tech that goes along with Megalopunny, and there's a lot of stuff that Megalopunny does. Obviously, you know, it gets scrappy, so it hits ghost type too. It's normal fighting. But I mean, it's got mad speeds, like base 135 speed when it mega evolves. It's got stupid attack, like really stupid attack. And people just kind of assume like, oh, it has fake out and it hits things. My week 8 game, I didn't even use Megalopunny. Like, I used some tech with it, and I swept with a different Pokemon. So, I mean, there's different ways you can use things, and I think by advantageously going after some lower-tiered Mons, like, I'm looking at the NU tier right now, and it's so sad. Aurorus was drafted, Ninetales was drafted, Steelix was drafted, and then that was it. that was all. Something to note, actually, before we discuss this, because this is something we didn't talk about, I don't think. For the CIL Season 3, we actually voted to have Z-Crystals randomly assigned to each team every week. So there are a finite amount of Z-Crystals, unless you drafted a Pokemon that has a specific Z-Crystal, in which case you had to declare which Z-Crystal you were going to bring, which is sometimes an advantage, sometimes a disadvantage. But ultimately, we each had access to a randomly selected Z-Crystal every week that kind of, I don't know if that really impacted the games all that much, but this season we're doing something a little bit different with Z-Crystals.
That my cue. we're going to be implementing the GBA-style Z-Captain designation. There are no Megas in our draft, so it made sense to have something similar to fill that spot, and also hopefully give the opportunity to help people actually utilize their Z crystals, because I know for a lot of us, we if we got repeats or if we got one that wasn't particularly useful, we were sitting a week without that option when our opponent might have. So doing so will help us be, I think, more open team building wise. You can't put a Z-Crystal on every Pokemon, which is good for balance's sake, because how could you possibly prep for like a Z-Hypnosis Zerkatry, or if you're just going for a Sub-Zero Slammer from Ninetales, like we're talking about Sam's team, that's what I'm using in my head. You might have a hard time prepping for both, since there's so many limitations, and Z-Crystals are so powerful. So it makes sense to put some kind of limitation on them for this. So Z-Captain, the Z-Captain designation is going to be determined after the draft, just like how the GBA did it. No fanciness with it. We're going to keep it relatively simple, but hopefully that'll make Z moves more viable in Season 4.
Similarly, I don't think anything's changing regarding the trades or free agency policy. I think that's correct. Staying relatively the same.
Yes.
I think we cap at 5, if I'm remembering correctly.
You do.
Any combination of those. There were some trades that happened late Season 3, but ultimately I don't think we saw too many. There was a lot of free agency. Mav is notorious for just bopping that free agency like immediately. Didn't he do that like week 2 or something?
He did it pretty early, I think.
Yeah. And then save that one last trade for me. Thank you again, Mav. it's very, very useful. I was hoping, cause like before, not to digress, but, when I played Chase in week 2 for Season 3, I had like nothing to beat Scarf Victini. Like literally nothing. It would have involved me like sacking something and then coming in and hitting multiple fake outs with Megalopunny or something. It didn't really shake out that way and I didn't have to worry about it, but Garchomp definitely helped my matchup against him. Kevin, I would appreciate you beating him so I don't have to do that.
Oh, I will.
Or Rachel, you can beat him too. It doesn't matter to me.
Chase, I'm coming for you. Or Rachel.
Rachel.
One of you guys. I'm coming for one of you guys.
Which I wanna emphasize too. I'm really glad that the bracket shook out the way that it did. Not to like get obsessed with Season 3 again, because we've talked about Season 4. I'm glad that the two people that were also in my conference are over in the Sun Conference, your conference. And then the other two that were in your conference, the Sun Cramp, are over in, like, the Moon Conference now. So, yeah. Like, we're all kind of playing different people.
Yeah, it mixes it up a bit. But that wasn't deliberate. That was just the way seeding shook down.
Yes. Yes, it was. Which I'm thrilled about, because I don't really want to have to play Chase or Rachel again.
I got you.
I don't really want to play you again either. I've played everyone on your bracket. I have literally played everyone on the right side of the bracket. That's true. I hate this so much. Anyway, so that's Season 4 is happening. Do we have a tentative date as to when that's going to pop off?
No.
Do we have like a season, a month?
Yeah. The plan currently is to start the draft before everyone goes back to school, so maybe sometime in mid-August. It's a few months away, but not that far down the road, you know?
No, it's coming up. Yeah. And I think everybody really likes the draft part. Like, the CIL is it's so cute, because, like, everybody gets really excited to draft. I say cute, but it's outright adorable, to be perfectly honest. Everybody gets so hyped to draft, and there's this excitement that takes place right before that, which anybody who's been in, like, a counter-team draft situation probably knows that, like, the drafting, everybody likes the drafting the most. But there's, I don't know, the CIL is a good group of people. Most of them are Kanto Nation citizens, obviously, because... You know, that's kind of when this whole thing started, was way back when. How long has the CIL been going on? I know it's been, like, nearly the complete of 3 seasons at this point, but didn't it start, like, a year ago? If not longer.
I think more than a year. definitely more than a year. I could go back. You know, I could go check the date. If you need.
This is happening live right now.
You know what, though? I don't know if the date's going to be on, like, the first week, but I should have the playoff dates on the original spreadsheet. Schedule and standard. Back when I had two different spreadsheets for the draft board and the thing, because I didn't know you could make different pages on Google Sheets.
Which was it? Was it 8 weeks originally in season one? Because I know season two got shorter. Or was season one the short one?
No, season one was short. It was 5 weeks, and then everybody complained, and they said, like, 5 weeks wasn't enough time to get to use their team, so we made it 10 weeks, and then 10 weeks took forever, and everybody's like, oh, my God, please, no, not again.
It did. Yeah, because, again, like, the CIL goes every other week, so you have 2 weeks to get your games in. I ranted and raved about this at the beginning of the episode. But when you think about it, an 8 week regular season is actually 16 weeks real time. So one season, one regular season for us for season three, for example, was like almost 4 months, I think. Did I do that math right? 4 times 4 is 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're asking me to math and I'm like, whoa, what happened? Why am I being asked?
I figured I would clarify the 4 times 4 part. But yeah, so yeah, like it takes a long time. So usually it's like I would say probably two seasons per year. So given that math, that season one was shorter, season two was longer.
We're creeping up on 2 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say because CantoCast turned two back in January, February, March.
Yeah, October 19th.
I thought it was about 6 months after CantoCast got started.
Yeah, that'll be the 2 month anniversary or 2 year anniversary.
When is that?
Then October 19th.
Ooh, October!
I can't believe it's lasted this long.
It's been a long time. It has been a long time. So, I mean, the RU draft will probably be season four. Will probably be right in the middle of that. Then I would imagine.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So. That's exciting. I'm going to have to mark that down on my calendar so I don't forget that. The CIL's anniversary is October 19th, I think you said.
I'm pretty sure that was in the book right after Mew's birthday on Cinnabar Island, but nobody turned the pages, so wasn't able to find it in the game.
Oh.
It's okay.
Well, it'll always be October 19th to me.
That's what CantoCast is for.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you guys have been great. If this particular topic doesn't strike your fancy,
I at least
encourage you to give it a chance. I mean, everybody's very familiar. I think for the VGC scene, the multi-battle league has really done a great job of introducing league format or counter team format to perhaps the other side of the spectrum. Because the one thing I've noticed, like way back when, Kev, do you remember when you were going to ladder on Showdown and I was going to try and like do stuff at VGC events?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what we were aiming to do. I think the multi-battle league has kind of taken some VGC guys. Like I think Marcus and Wolf were Team Dreamball, which is like the most stacked team you will ever like the multi-battle. Oh my gosh. Aaron Zhang, I think, was in it too, if I'm not mistaken. But you also had, I think Callum was in it. I think Duncan was in it.
MV and Poke Aim.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, no. Oh no. Is Poke Aim in any leagues?
They're doing the MBL again.
Are they really? Oh, both of them, yeah. Oh.
Poke Aim was only in the UCL, which is dead as far as I can tell. And I'm really hoping that he gets into another one because I really enjoy his league content. If you follow the UCL, you'll notice some similarities between his team and mine, especially with Kieran Black and Manaphy on the same squad there.
So basically, Joey, hit me up if you got any ideas on how to beat Kevin. I don't think you listen, but if you do, my man, my DMs are open. Anywho, yeah, I think they've done a great job of like kind of meshing the difference. And you've got some smoke on guys like Nails, like Rajan, who are like big, and Nails is doing amazingly well at VGC right now, and he's a smoke on guy. I think he's like number two in championship points in the world right now, which is absurd. Like, that's awesome. Absurd. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're branching out, because I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of intermixing going on between the two. Like, obviously, BGC guys had to use Showdown the entire 2016 season. You had no way to play 2016 VGC on Battlespot. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think maybe that's kind of when it happened, because I feel like a lot of stuff started at that point, and that's when that bridge started to get... Because people had to actually use Showdown to team test and everything, which is a great tool regardless. But, you know, Pokemon literally left us without any way to actually practice their official format for that season. So, there you go. I did a whole episode about it promoting Showdown. Anyway, that's great. I mean, again, if it's not your cup of tea, that's okay. I still very much plan on covering VGC. I just thought, you know, I've been a part of the CIL for so long. We didn't really intertwine it in the CantoCast because I wasn't sure how people would feel about it. But now that I'm doing it full time and we have the opportunity to do more shows, I said, hey, this seems like a great idea. Kevin was very much down for the idea of kind of talking about season four, and I wanted to do a playoff pictures kind of thing, and it's not just because I'm in the playoffs. Boo, help me. I just wanted to talk about it because I feel like that's a part of me and what I do, and I feel like it's not really shared that much because we don't have a huge YouTube presence. And I wanted to get Kevin on the show. That was honestly
the biggest. Yeah, we don't have a huge YouTube presence. Nobody, like, there's no requirement. Like, it's very, very, very laid back.
Yes, that is the best part, because I could have been doing videos for 2 years. Like, I had that capability because it's a Showdown league. I don't know if we mentioned that, but it is Showdown league, so you don't have to have it on cart. You don't have to have, you know, it's not like the GBA where the games are on cart or in game. It's
half just on Showdown. Showdown now anyway. All these valid guys doing their playoff games on Showdown.
Valid. Yeah, it's laid back. It's easy going, and the effort to put videos forth was relatively easy. So I mean, I could have been doing it, but I didn't. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. I kind of looked at season three as an opportunity to be like, well, I drafted a fun team. I can do some stuff with it. It's not maybe as straightforward as it seems, and I want to kind of bring that option to everyone and be like, hey, look, you have... Because my team is power, right? Like, I drafted a lot of big hitters. I have, like, a defensive Pokemon, and I think it is Suicune. I literally think that's it. Also Delmize, but he's also kind of a big hitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything, genuinely speaking, is big. But I wanted to kind of showcase the opportunity to not just do that. So that's kind of what I did. So I hope you guys enjoyed the CIL breakdown, if we're going to call it that.
Yeah.
I guess. The CIL breakdown, season three. I hope, if you guys have not been familiar with what's going on with the CIL, I hope you're excited about season four. I know I am. The lower tiers, as we refer to them, as we professionals refer to them.
I'm not a professional.
It's going to be fun. There's lots of weird stuff. I'm very familiar with the weird stuff. And then there's lots of good stuff too. There's a lot of good stuff. Those of you at home, go check out the RU tier. It's kind of a dunk. I know A-Drive, he has been doing some RU like showcases from Showdown, or he was. I don't know if he still is, but
he must have been eavesdropping on our conversations, because shortly after this idea came up, his RU content started coming out. So
was it, did Envy or did Pokeaim do it too?
Pokeaim's been doing that for a long time though.
Yeah, he's Pokeaim. Joey, please come on my show. Anyway, do you have anything else you want to say about the CIL, Kevin, as we kind of wrap up here?
I love it, and I love everyone in it. It is my favorite thing about Pokemon, and I honestly don't know if I lettered on occasion, but I don't know if I would be seriously playing if it wasn't for the CIL, so yeah.
Well, on behalf of the CIL, the Kanto Nation, anybody who watches the videos, because Kevin actually does, you do like post-game matches, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to do live. It takes too much time.
That's against the spirit of the CIL. That's not casual.
Yeah.
I do live com, but...
I'm toying with the idea, but... So here's the dilemma. My computer that I record the voice and stuff on, is it gets really slow. So if I have to record my, I'd have to record my voice separately and the video on a different thing, which that, the thing I would record the video on the laptop doesn't have a very good camera, so I'd have to buy a new camera. And I'm like, no, it's not worth it.
Oh my gosh. That's insane. That's way too much.
Yeah. So just, I mean, I'm doing the MV style post comms here.
Well, compared to like what I do with the live com, where it's me like doing damage calcs for like a minute and a half, and I'm just going like, can I live this? How fast is that? Don't like that. Don't like that. Don't like that. Like, I'm sure it's a breath of fresh air for anybody who doesn't want to deal with that. It's kind of an in and out. This is what happened. And I enjoy them. I learn a lot. I think you do a great job of explaining like what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then if you get bopped by some kind of hacks, like you're very good about working around that. So, anyway, on behalf of the Canto Nation, on behalf of the CIL, I want to thank you for putting this together, because I initially had very little to do with this. This was just kind of you seeking out a want, I think, that a lot of listeners and a lot of people that followed us on Twitter had kind of a desire for. And you saw an opportunity, and you made it, and it's blossomed into this this really cool thing. So thank you for putting that together. I appreciate you guys for taking the time to listen. If you're interested in the CIL, I'm going to list... what am I going to list? I'm going to list the CIL Season 3 doc. I'm going to list all the coaches and their Twitters. I'm going to list Kevin, probably above all that, because he's kind of the most integral part of this whole shindig. Get excited, because you know, I won't have a quarterfinals video, but I will have a semis, and then hopefully a finals video where Kevin and I potentially face off against each other again.
Yeah. That's the goal.
But I'm gonna list all the coaches and everything down below, so go check them out. Go check out the CIL's Twitter. It basically lives on Twitter. If CantoCast was a counter team draft league, it would be the CIL. It lives on Twitter like we do. So
for sure,
go check that out as well. Kevin, thank you for coming on.
Always a pleasure. This is like my chance to hang out with you since you live across the country.
I was really sad, not to digress, but that tends to happen when Kevin and I start talking.
Indeed.
When I moved from Wilmington up to Virginia, I actually lost an hour's worth of travel time for you. So, like, I'm further away from you than I was before, which I didn't think it was possible.
No.
We can hashtag blame Yella for that. Although, to be fair, I get to do what I do now because she's gracious enough to let me try this for a year and make a go of it and burden the responsibility of finance by herself, essentially. So thank you, Yella.
Yay,
shout out to Yella for allowing me to play the Pokemans with my friends and on the internet and make new friends, which is great.
Yellow's my second favorite CantoCast host.
It's valid. She's mine too. Wait, what? I'm just kidding. Yellow forever. Hashtag we are Yellow. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate your faces more than words can say. But before we take off, I want to shout out all the Patreon peoples that helped me do what I do when I do what I do. Ooh. And I am talking about our Kahuna tiers. First and foremost, Rorgan, Wynn, Fiona, Rachel, Tom, Michael, Nathan, Nick, Tony, Sam, Daniel, all you Kahunas throwing up them big dollars. I hope you all enjoyed your Kahuna boxes the last couple months. Kevin is making it rain right now in your honor. Caitlin, newly acquired $5 tier. Caitlin, thank you so much. That's Random VGC for anyone who's wondering. I'm going to shout her out. Caitlin, Patrick, Kevin is a patron. Is your mind blown? Because mine is. Craig. And then, you know what? Our lower tier is totally fine. Anything you guys do is so appreciated. I love you anyway. Crash, Bear, Lilo, Steven, Jonathan, Phil, and Scotty. Scotty, I always save you for the last, but I love you, my man. Thank you guys so much. Scotty doesn't know. Thank you guys so much for your support. It's absolutely ridiculous. We can't get an intern but we are well on our way to allowing me to do this full time. Like I said, I'm an affiliate on Twitch now. Goals of being a partner somewhere down the road in the future, hopefully nearer rather than far. And you guys help me accomplish that, so thank you so much. The importance of fan-funded content is so crucial right now, and I do not stress that enough because YouTube is a mess. Like, it's a mess. You got, like, even...
It's a mess.
I'm family-friendly, right? And even though Yellow swears sometimes,
Oh my gosh, it's true.
It's a thing. She's a potty mouth.
She's a sailor. Captain Yellow out here.
Like, if anybody's family-friendly on YouTube, it's relatively speaking CantoCast, and it's so hard to break through, especially with the way that their ad revenue thing is the way that it is now. I don't really need to worry about that. I make content that is fun and that you guys can enjoy because I am not a slave to the YouTube ad revenue cycle. You guys allow me to make what I can, what I want, have fun with it, that's enjoyable for you guys, and I'm not stressed out about it. So thank you again for that. I know I stress it way too much, but thank you guys so much. It's so incredible. I know we just talked about 2 years of CantoCast. The CIL is coming up on 2 years here in the fall. It's been going on for so long, and it's incredible that you guys actually want this to happen. That's more or less what I'm saying. I'm very happy about it. So thank you guys for listening. Again, I love y'all so much. There's nothing you can do about that. Sorry about your luck. Maybe the RNG will be in your favor next time, but I wouldn't bet on it. As always, I am Blue.
And I'm Red.
There it is.
Yeah.
And we will catch you next time with an all-new episode of CantoCast.